Well, good morning again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we focus on you. We ask that you help us put aside those things that are distracting us and focus on you, the Creator. We love you, Lord, but we thank you so much you love us and care for us and you have a plan for us. We ask you to bless this time of worship together. In Jesus' name, amen. A few weeks ago, we had Russ up here, and he taught on Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. He mentioned when he stood up here, that's one of the top 10 verses of, you know, what people, you know, if you were to pick your favorite verses in the Bible, that was one of the top 10. Now, my mind sometimes wanders off, and it did at that particular moment. And I said, I wonder what the other nine are. And so a little bit later, I went and Googled it. And of course, there's a whole bunch of top 10 verses. Everybody has their own favorites, and each website has their own listing. And the one that Russ taught on was in almost every one of those. Another one was in almost every one of those was Romans 12:2. And that's what we'll be talking about today. But I was surprised also to see a number of the top 10 verses had Psalm 23 in a verse after it. And that got me to thinking too. My mind wanders off on occasion, frequently. When I was growing up, Psalms 23 was one of the first things we learned as a child. And we put that to memory. Back in those days, we only had the King James Version. We fortunately could understand it. But it was kind of neat to see how many different verses in Psalm 23 was there. And we aren't talking about Psalm 23 today, but I'm just mentioning a few other things. That used to be such an important thing to have in your memory, because when you kind of get into tight situations, you remembered it, because that's one of the ones you could draw so many principles from, and it was so valuable. And I hope we're still teaching that and getting that across, to bury that in people's minds so that they can dig back and recall that. The other thing that flows in, but to talk about Romans 12:2, both the adult classes are into James. And the section of James that the co-ed class is in right now flows in rather well to Romans 12:2. And basically this answers the question, how do you respond to the world? How do you respond to the world? How do you deal with it? Let's see here. Well, could you advance the slides from the back? Switch on the side, okay. Oh, that helps out a great deal, I bet. Let me see if it... Okay. But you use the non-intuitive arrow on this one. Okay. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're not to be conformed to the superficial values and customs of the world. The world's there and more than willing to give you a set of values, more than willing to give you a set of customs, things to do, but we don't have to follow that. We're called not to follow it, in fact. And what I've done is underscored and bolded, though you can't, the key action words of this particular verse: conformed, transformed, renewing, and proving the will of God. Transformed, changed. Not just change a little bit, but change a lot, more of a metamorphosis. And had to think back to I don't use that word every day. But I do remember it from biology and science. You know, what is the one thing when you think metamorphosis, what is the one critter that you think about? Butterfly, caterpillar. That's a pretty dramatic change that goes through that. But unlike the change that goes through the caterpillar to the butterfly, you know, this transforming is you keep going beyond that. Renewing, focusing on God, and then to prove so that you're sure. And that's what we're going to talk about. We want to be sure of what God's will is so that, in fact, we can do it. So I'll throw up a definition from the dictionary. There's that set of standards that are expectations that are set up from the outside. Well, our set of standards we're supposed to be going to are from the inside the Bible, inside the Word of God. It seems more than ever that the world wants unquestionable obedience to the standards. Even though, what's happening to those standards of the world? All over the place. Well, they're going down, but they're going all over the place. What was standard yesterday is not the standard today. It's not going to be standard tomorrow. You'd have to be very agile to keep up with what the world standards are these days. But they want us to conform. Do not conform and be of the same pattern. We used to live in a suburb of Washington, D.C., not far from Pennsylvania. We lived in Maryland. Actually, we lived in a little town called Clinton. Famous for being the home of Surratt's Tavern, if you're familiar with the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, that particular location played a part in that. But we visited there. It's a fascinating place to visit in the Amish country, where they have chosen not to conform to the world, to stick with their own ways. They want to be plain people. And you can't go up there and visit without being impressed with their dedication and their focusing on following what they feel the Lord has called them to do and the way that they conduct their lives. You know, they conform and it's not easy. I mean, they do not conform, and it's not easy for them. I mean, it's kind of nice having a car you can just turn the ignition key on and go somewhere instead of providing hay for your one-horsepower motor and doing without some of the mechanical stuff, doing without some of the communication that we so depend on. There are pressures acting on them, and we've seen some of the pressures acting even on the Amish in recent times as government tries to affect the way they do business. But obviously the Lord has not called all of us to do this in a similar way, because we all have cars. Well, there's a bunch of cars out there. There's not a bunch of horses and carriages out there. But what are some of the pressures that are acting on us as we take a look? There's a desire to be like everybody else. We're bombarded by that in the media. We all have a desire to be accepted. There's a tendency to accept the world's solution and a tendency to accept the world's values, as far as they tell us what to wear. Now, so I was thinking about this, again, that random mind going all over the place. One of the words that's mentioned is fashion, as far as what's right to wear. And I got to thinking back to the 70s. Those of us that are a little bit older in here can probably remember what kind of clothes you were wearing in the 70s. And you're probably hoping that there's none of those pictures left around anymore for the kids to see. Because I would be embarrassed by some of the clothes that we were wearing back then, some of the louder colors. I had a very nice polyester turtleneck that somehow disappeared. If it didn't disappear on its own, I'm sure Michael took it, whenever it came through. But we had a tendency to conform to the dress at that time, even though, looking back, that was pretty ridiculous. It was a pressure of the world where we weren't thinking. Now, what would have been pleasing to God? We see in scriptures many times where conformance, some people had to fight it. How about Micaiah? Whenever Jehoshaphat and Ahab, hey, we're going to take on this other country over here. Let's check with all the religious folks. We'll get all the prophets in and ask them, what do they think? And what did almost all of them that were present say? Hey, go ahead with these horns. You're going to just tear them apart. And then Jehoshaphat said, well, isn't there one prophet of the Lord that we can check with? And I think Micaiah is one of the most sarcastic people in the Bible. Because what did he say? He said, oh yeah, you'll do great. Now obviously Jehoshaphat picked up immediately. This guy's being sarcastic. He said, why don't you tell me the truth? And he did tell him the truth. Didn't listen to him. But there was all that pressure to conform. Tell them what all, you know, because they made sure Micaiah knew what all the other prophets had said before Micaiah got in the presence of those two kings. But he was willing to be different. He was willing to follow that do not conform guidance. Even though Romans hadn't been written yet, he knew what the Lord wanted. Some time ago, when I was a few years out from retiring from the Navy, but I could see it getting pretty close. I was interested in getting a teaching certificate so I could teach math and science. And it just happened that George Washington University was going to have a dispersed teaching location, one that would fit in with going to work for me. And so I was excited. I signed up for it and even bought the book right away. And things were going great until I looked at the book. And then in the middle of the book, there was this whole chapter about humanism. And so I said, well, I can't go along with that. And so I gave that thing up. I could not go along, even though I talked to one of my friends that was a Christian and said, well, just ignore that part of that. No, I can't ignore that. That's important. And there were other things I didn't take the course, but the Lord gave me something better. Within about a year, I was teaching. And I didn't have to take any courses to teach. And I was teaching something that was fun, to people that were fun. But you don't have to go along. You can hold on to what the Lord has set for his standards. We can reject the world's solutions, the world's values. We can kind of control what we watch and what we listen to, bearing in mind who they represent. And it gets awful, as I mentioned, it gets awful difficult to keep pace with the way that the world changes as far as what their standards are. Just in the past couple of years, we've seen, you know, our great patriots of Washington and Jefferson, almost rejected and covered that way, not realizing the tremendous things that they've done for this country. And a lot of people will say, well, I won't conform, but they don't want the world to know that they aren't going along with it. They try to keep their faith secret, and we don't want to do that. The second word in that thing that was the action word was transform. Change markedly in appearance, change nature, function, condition of. Be converted. Be subject to that transformation. We are called to become a new creature in God. We want to become that creature that God wants us to be. The change will involve what you're doing and how you're doing it, and what's most important is why you're doing it. Now, sometimes a transformation can be easy to see the need for. Whenever we're going into the Bay County Jail, it wasn't unusual to run into an inmate who finally decided, now is the time to start seeing what God wants to do. Because they make the grand discovery that what they're doing isn't working. How long does it take us to realize what we're doing isn't working? And if what you're doing isn't working, it's time to do something else. So why not go for the transformation that the Lord has for us, seeking to do what He has called us to do? Here's a picture of some stuff that we've seen a lot of over the past, 3 years ago, on the ground, on the ground and not working. They replaced a whole lot of these throughout Bay County. These are transformers. They transform the 7,200 volts that are coming on those big lines at the top down to 240 volts so that you can bring it into your house and actually make something useful out of it. It's changed to be useful. These pole transformers convert down. They change power down to something that's smaller, that's useful. But God wants us to convert us up to be something that's more powerful. Change our appearance, what we say, what we do. Most of all, what is important to us. And so, kind of like these transformers, we need to be transformed. And one thing that's been driving me crazy as I was thinking about this and preparing this is how quickly the world is constantly changing. Not as far as advancing in technology, it's doing that. It's been doing that for a long time. But changing what is important as far as values and the cultural norms. Since the two adult classes are in James, this is a verse that we covered today, where James sends out this letter to the tribes that are dispersed. Now, these are people that are in different areas. They're in new worlds to them. And they're facing some challenges. Are we going to conform to what they're doing? Are we going to adopt their values? Or do we hold on to the values that God has called us for? Some of them were going back to their natural inclinations, natural desires, motivations. And he gets their attention by calling them adulterers and adulteresses because they have forsaken the God that loved them, that sent Jesus to them. And then he makes it very clear in very plain words. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. They were, instead of adopting what was around them, they were called to being the friend of God. Something much more useful. But what happens when we do this? It can make the world uncomfortable, can it? So we need to live our lives so that in the non-conforming to the world and in the transforming our own, as we continue to draw closer and closer to God and incorporate what He has for us, that we stand out as a testimony. It would be very easy just to blend in, not raise a ruckus. Used to be able to talk. But that's transformation. Now let's focus briefly on renewing. To make new. And I like all three of these, because all three of these are what we need to be doing. To make new. If you haven't done it, you know, and started transforming towards the Lord, now's the time to start. To take it up again, we sometimes get off course. What do you do when you get off course? You correct back to course. You'll get there eventually. You know, we used to occasionally get knocked off course by maybe some turbulence. But if you put in a correction, it'll get you there. It may take a while. We didn't want to do anything drastic because we were sometimes being bounced around. And even driving a car, you don't want to be, your passengers don't like it when you jerk side to side. Helen doesn't like it when I'm, she wants a nice smooth transition for all our driving around. Renew, to repeat, so we can reaffirm. We learn a lot through repetition, pounding stuff into our thick skulls over and over again so that it finally lodges. You know, and that was the kind of what I loved about the 23rd Psalm. You know, it was always, you know, once it had been placed in there and just pounded in by those young ladies in the Baptist church, you know, about many, many decades ago, 60 to 70 years ago, they wanted us to leave with that in our minds. And so we'll go back and repeat it. Thinking about Michael again, you know, what is our motivation for the renewal? I don't know about you, but the COVID has done some damage, some serious damage to my body. Not as far as being sick, but by putting on, in that first year of COVID, I put on a lot of weight. And we went to a doctor for a checkup, and I did not like that number because they forced you to get on the scale. And you look at those numbers and you say, wow, what happened? Well, what happened was there was food that was available. There's nothing else to do, so you eat. You couldn't go anywhere and get exercise to the gym because it was closed or it was just too inconvenient. And I saw the need that something had to be done. I realized the need for change. And then I realized the need. I had to put forth the effort. And it wasn't going to be a one-shot deal. Not a one-and-done. It was going to be an everyday part of the renewal. Every day is tough. You want to get exempted for a few days, but no. Every day needs to be one that you're working towards renewing your mind. And it sure is easy to be lazy. Because it's sometimes inconvenient to do those things that involve renewal and getting back to where you should have been. My brother made the comment, we're talking about, I guess his wife had started going to the gym. And he said, well, I'm not going. I'm allergic to exercise. And I understood that fully. Me too. Usually when I'm starting to exercise, I do it as fast as I can. Not because I enjoy it. I want to get it over with and get out of there. But we renew our mind. Our mind is that part of our body that kind of controls what's coming in and what's going out. And we need to be ever vigilant that the world's not shoving stuff in. And we need to make sure that what's coming out is not what's matching up to the world. Takes a lot of work. It's a continuing process. So back to James. So submit yourselves to God. He basically gives us some exercises to do. Very uncomfortable exercises to do. Things you don't want to do. Things you have to do every day. They're kind of a pain, because they don't go with our worldly self. So submit yourselves to God. We're changing who's in charge. We want to be in charge. Or the world will tell us what to do and they'll be in charge. But we need to decide that God's going to be the one in charge. We need to submit to Him, do what He calls us to do. Another exercise for us to do as we renew our minds is resist the devil and he will flee from you. A promise here. You know how when you're exercising, there are certain parts of your body that are kind of weak, so they get extra attention? Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. This is one of the great encouraging parts of these verses. He is there to help. He wants to be our personal trainer. If we lean our ear over to listen to Him, we'll draw nearer and listen to what He has to say. But we also need to cleanse our hands. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you of two minds. There's always the temptation to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the Bible. We need to have both feet in the Bible. And not try to, well, I'll just be part of the world. You know, they won't know the difference. I'll make these concessions. But being of two minds is not acceptable. Begin to lament, to mourn, to weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into dejection. What's referring to here is repenting from the worldly way of self-reliance and accepting the world's values, our ambition that we're very much part of us. Being repentant of that. Now, Christians are taught to be joyful, but what he's referring to here is when he says, let your joy, your joy into dejection, he's talking about our attitude for what we were, as we continue to change towards what He has called us to be. And the last part of that was prove His will. You know, we're faced with choices to make. Some are good. Some of them look awful good. But what He has called us to do is to go for the best one. And His is the best. There's a lot that sounds good. So why is it important to prove His will? Kind of to separate that, what sounds good, from what is the best that He has called us for. As we reject the world, if we do not conform to the world, that will make a difference as far as what message we're carrying forth. We're supposed to carry forth the gospel, but we're called to be a peculiar people, to be different. If we're not conforming to the world, we are going to be different. And I got to thinking about some of the people in the Old Testament. There was Lot living in Sodom. He believed in God. Did Lot make a difference in the city of Sodom. Who did he take with him when he left? He didn't. He didn't make a difference. He was close enough to where I guess they accepted him more or less. But he certainly wasn't 100%. Whenever the angels came, this is Genesis 19. If I'm saying something that's not familiar to you, go to Genesis 19, read that. When the angels came to visit him, tell him to get out of town, basically, get out of Dodge. He tried to appease the crowd. How do you try to appease this crowd? Hey, take my daughters. I think he missed something. I think the world had imposed on him, and he had taken a little bit too much of it. But then I got thinking about Daniel in Babylon. What'd Daniel do? I don't want to eat that kind of food. I want to eat the kind of food that God has told me to eat. And in doing that, of course, God is the guy that was in charge of him, very concerned, because I don't want the person I'm in charge of to look kind of bad. But Daniel obviously challenged that and said, look, you know, put us to the test. He was confident of what God had called him to do. He did not conform to the Babylonian way of doing things. He chose to be different. And what happened to Daniel? Well, it proved out correct. But whenever things ever started getting tough for the king, what did they do? Who did they call on? They called on Daniel. Hey, the God of Daniel knows something. The God of Daniel is powerful. He's the one. He's serving the right person. He did not conform to the best wisdom of the day of Babylon. Instead, he conformed to God. Like I said, a lot of things look good on the surface. And even have some good sounding explanations. But as you dig down, maybe it's not that good. We need to, you know, dig down and see what God wants. Therefore, going back, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we ask that you help us to stand firm. Help us not to conform to the pressures that are coming in around us. Your way is the best way. Help us to go after the best, not what just sounds good or sounds good in a certain situation. But help us to change. Help us to be metamorphosized, and not only go through that metamorphosis of caterpillar to butterfly, but your word says we're to continue to draw closer to you. And we thank you that you're there to help us do that. We ask that you continue to guide us as we become what you called us to be. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.